for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. Toyota recently recalled nearly 8 million of its vehicles because of brake and acceleration problems. A top U.S. executive of Toyota told lawmakers yesterday he was not sure the recall would solve all the problems. And he said there is no evidence the problem with sudden surges were caused by an electronic defect. Joining me in the studio to talk about the hearings and Toyota safety problems, Carl Nash of the Center for Auto Safety, Dave Leventhal of the Center for Responsive Politics, and Paul Atkinson of the Toyota National Dealer Council. I look forward to hearing your comments this morning. Join us on 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. You can also join us on Facebook and Twitter. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Carl Nash, if I could start with you. Give us an idea of, briefly, what Toyota executives had to say yesterday.
Well, they had remarkably little to say. Mr. Lentz gave an apology, but he seemed utterly uninformed about details of the situation with the Toyota defect and recalls.
Now, let's identify Mr. Lentz.
He's the American chairman of the corporation.
So he talked about misplaced floor mats and sticking floor pedals.
Yes. The accelerator, the two recalls, the main recalls have been to deal with the floor mat issue and to deal with a potential sticking of the accelerator pedal itself. And I understand they're doing sort of a secret warranty recall in which they're changing the electronic system so that when you touch the brake, it will automatically disconnect the accelerator on the vehicle.
Now, did he talk about that yesterday?
No, I don't think he did.
When you say a secret recall, explain that.
Well, it means that it's not been declared as part of the recall, but when the cars are brought in, my understanding is that they are reprogramming the electronics so that instead of having it so that the accelerator can continue to be pressed while the brake is pressed, that the accelerator is automatically disconnected and the engine will return to idle.
But it was my understanding from what Mr. Lentz had to say yesterday that he wasn't sure that correcting the problems for which Toyota was recalling the vehicles was going to correct the issue.
Yes, that's what he said. I'm not at all sure what he meant by that, whether he knows something that he's not divulging or whether Toyota feels like they simply have not fully addressed the problem.
Carl Nash, he is with the Center for Auto Safety. Turning to you, Paul Atkinson, what can we expect to hear from Akio Toyota, the grandson of the founder, today?
You know, I'm not sure. First of all, thank you for having me. And I'm not sure what Mr. Toyota is going to say today. I'll be just as interested to hear the hearings as everyone else. To Mr. Nash's statement about the secret recall, this is a change, and this happens with manufacturers all the time, where they upgrade current systems on an ongoing change of a product. That change has already been made on a couple of our products. It's called a brake override system, and it is intended to, no matter what happens, if someone finds themselves in a situation where an accelerator is depressed at full acceleration and for some reason they need brake also, something's wrong if you need full acceleration and full brake. So what the system is going to be made to do, and it'll become standard on all Toyota products by the end of this year, it will convert the fuel flow down to idle. So you'll still have your power steering and everything else. You can get over to the side of the road. Now, whether a baseball comes from the back from a kid or, you know, a towel or a Coke can or whatever gets anywhere near an accelerator, someone finds themselves in a situation where they have full acceleration and they need brake, the system is going to shut itself, what's called a brake override system. It's just an additional safety feature that Toyota has decided to put in their products.
And you've heard from Paul Atkinson. He's a Toyota dealer from Texas and chairman of the Toyota National Dealer Council. Dave Leventhal, turning to you this morning in the Washington Post, Haley Barbour said that the company, Toyota, is doing everything it should as quickly as possible to make things right. Would you agree with that?
They're surely engaging in a public relations effort that is one of the largest that an automaker has had to do recently. And they know that they're in a difficult position. It's not every day that an automaker has to go before Congress in this public of a fashion. But it's important to note that Toyota and the federal government, they have a long history together. This is something that, although many Americans are seeing it for the first time in such a high-profile way, Toyota has lobbied the federal government, in fact, more than any other foreign automaker over the past 5 years.
Lobbying for what?
Lobbying for a variety of things, everything from safety issues to transportation issues to labor issues.
And why would you lobby on safety issues?
You would lobby because federal legislation is constantly being passed. Regulations are constantly being debated at the federal level. And when you're an organization or when you're a company with literally billions of dollars at stake in terms of your bottom line, any legislation that is passed at the federal level that potentially could affect that bottom line, you want to have a voice in it. You want to make sure that your corporation, that your company is represented so that a decision that ultimately is made by the government is not going to be onerous to you or, at the very least, is going to be made in a way that has your participation in it.
And, of course, this is where the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration comes in. NHTSA, are you suggesting that individuals from the corporation would lobby NHTSA and go back and forth on safety regulations?
Toyota has, in 2009, 31 lobbyists working for it. So what we're seeing right now is the political theater, if you will. You're seeing the public event. But what you don't see necessarily is the behind-the-scenes conversations, the phone calls, the one-on-one discussions that oftentimes you will just simply not know about, but that Toyota is having with the federal government in order to work through this process.
And you're saying that every automobile manufacturer does the same thing?
Certainly. And Toyota is actually number three when you look at the numbers over the past 5 years in terms of the money spent on federal lobbying efforts. General Motors and Ford are one and two. But Toyota is ahead of all other foreign automakers, ahead of Honda, Volkswagen, Nissan, Mazda, and in a very major way.
Carl Nash, what do you make of that? How might that kind of lobbying affect what comes out in the end in terms of safety regulations?
Well, NHTSA is an organization that is very much affected by the political atmosphere because of all the money and interest in automobiles in this country. I would say, by the way, that Toyota, in my opinion, even though they've given apologies, their actions speak far louder than their words on that.
What does that mean?
Well, for example, the company that they chose to do the analysis of the technical issues involved in sudden acceleration is a company called Exponent Failure Analysis. That company is used constantly by the automakers to provide technical backup for defense in product liability lawsuits. And Exponent's primary function is to prove that automobiles do not have defects in product liability cases. If Toyota wanted to show that it was serious about really finding out what this defect is about, they would have chosen an independent company that was not associated with this kind of work.
Paul Atkinson, I listened carefully to the testimony of Rhonda Smith yesterday, who told an extraordinarily vivid story about what happened with her Toyota. I'm sure you heard it too. What did you make of it?
It was heart-wrenching. It was very uncharacteristic of Toyota dealerships. You know, at 99.9% of the dealerships in this country, that phone call to a Toyota or a Lexus dealership would have been followed up with a phone call, followed up with another phone call. Let's get this car in. Let's get this taken care of. How that ball got dropped is beyond me. And so that is very heart-wrenching to have sat there and listened to what that family has gone through. I think there'll be a lot more to that story that will come out as the next few days go forward. And I think time will tell. As far as a couple of things that have been said, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
Yes, Toyota is number three in lobbying, but let me give you the statistics. General Motors, in the last 5 years, has spent $53.1 million on lobbyists. Ford has spent $40.7 million on lobbyists. And Toyota has spent nearly $25 million. So a third, and yet that's half of what General Motors and Ford has spent on lobbying. Exponent, the company that has been hired by Toyota to, and by the way, they were hired with carte blanche, unlimited budget, test any of our vehicles, test everything you can, test all the electronics that you can in our system. That's also the same company that the government hired to find out what happened with Columbia. So they're a very reputable company.
You're talking about the...
The shuttle. Yes, ma'am. And they are also currently... have another third-party company validating what they have done so far.
Paul Atkinson, he's a Toyota dealer from Texas and chair of the Toyota National Dealer Council. More on what will come today and days to come in regard to Toyota. Stay with us. And we're back talking about Toyota today, meeting with members of Congress. Will be the grandson of the founder of Toyota, Akia Toyota. And we'll, of course, be hearing his testimony later in the day. But with me are three people very closely involved and watching what's happening with Toyota. Thus far, Carl Nash with the Center for Auto Safety, Dave Leventhal. He's with the Center for Responsive Politics. Paul Atkinson is chair of the Toyota National Dealer Council. I'd like to understand from what you understand thus far, Carl Nash, what is wrong with Toyota?
Well, Toyota actually had an excellent reputation as being one of the companies that followed the Deming principles. Edwards Deming, the American who went to Japan and basically preached the quality mantra in Japan. And Toyota has been one of the premier companies in following that. But somehow they lost their way in recent years. And my own feeling is that both Mr. Lentz and Mr. Toyota should, in effect, fall on their swords and resign from the company because they have so disastrously misled the company over the last few years.
What are the problems, as you see it, with the automobile?
It's a little hard to say all the problems. I think it's a combination of mechanical and electronic problems. And as to this question of the electronics, the disassociation of the brake and the accelerator in the electronics is what you would call a fail-safe device. In other words, it's a way of ensuring that if something fails, that there's a backup that will result, that will prevent a tragedy from happening. If I could, I'd like to talk a little bit, though, about NHTSA's role in this whole thing. I used to be an executive at NHTSA, and among my other jobs, I headed the Accident Investigation Division there. And NHTSA has been drastically underfunded and not given proper leadership during much of the last several decades. And this is, I lay the blame for this strictly on Congress, that Congress has allowed NHTSA's budget to be very substantially decreased. And it shows in these accident programs where we were initially supposed to have 75 accident investigation teams around the country investigating nearly 20,000 crashes a year. They now have only 24 teams investigating fewer than 5,000 a year. And had this system been up to full operating speed, which probably would cost about $50 million a year today, they would have found both the Firestone Ford Explorer defect much, much earlier and this defect much, much earlier. And it's penny wise and pound foolish to underfund an organization like NHTSA that has had some very competent people, but just simply hasn't had the resources to do its job right.
Dave Leventhal, is that where you lay a great deal of the responsibility for Toyota's problems? Let's concentrate on those.
The federal government has been criticized roundly for underfunding certain safety organizations. This is not something that necessarily is just unique to the auto divisions of it, but also air safety is probably another prominent one. And as the budget debates go on and we talk about the national debt and other issues that are peripheral but somewhat related to this issue, it becomes a major concern as to whether the money that is coursing through the federal government is going into the proper places. It's a lot easier to fund high-profile programs and cut and slash a little bit in the areas that really fly below the radar. But now we have a very, very public situation that is really shining a very bright light onto these money issues.
Let me understand, though, you can still have a small staff that's effective. You are saying that not only was it a small staff, it wasn't effective.
And we don't know, because it's a little outside our area, enough about what's going on in the internal workings of this. But it's important to note that when you have a small staff, you're going to be limited in the scope of what you can do. And if you have a whole country that you're covering, that's something that just needs a requisite amount of manpower oftentimes.
What about the lobbying efforts and the back and forth with NHTSA and the automobile dealers?
What you have is you have a team of lobbyists for Toyota, and mind you, the every automaker has a team of lobbyists.
I understand.
But Toyota has a very, very strong contingent of lobbyists that include a former U.S. House representative, a former chief of staff to Chris Dodd, a former chief of staff to Senator Joe Lieberman, in addition to other federal agency former officials and various other people, a Republican National Committee official. So what that says is that Toyota has been able to marshal a very, very strong group of people who know the players, who know the way that politics work, and it's a lot easier to walk into somebody's office as a known entity than a complete stranger if you want to get something done on behalf of your corporate interests.
Paul Atkinson, how many of the dealers still believe, and do you believe, that misplaced or too thick floor mats and or the other problem, the floor mats or the sticky accelerator, are the cause of these problems?
I do believe that. And I believe that the potential danger of the floor mat is much greater than the potential that comes from the sticky accelerator. Diane, you and I have a better chance of being, percentage-wise, we have a better chance of being struck by lightning than for a sticky accelerator to stick.
Four people dead.
Absolutely.
Doesn't diminish
not
the
at all.
Fact
agree
that this
100%.
Happens even once.
Absolutely. And even that's why Toyota is continuing. Toyota spends $9 billion a year in research and development. That's the largest amount of R&D money of any company in the world. That's $1 million an hour 24/7. And safety is at the front of that. Now, you know, I hear things like in Mr. Leventhal's article yesterday, you know, does that mean that Toyota is going to get special attention by the lobbyist? A couple of things that came out of the hearings yesterday, Secretary LaHood was asked, is there a list of manufacturers that are on a recall list? Yes, there is. Where does Toyota rank? It ranks 17. Well, what are we doing with the top 16 other manufacturers? If Toyota ranks 17 in recalls, what's happening with the other 16? It was interesting that a congressman brought that up yesterday to Secretary LaHood. Plus, the question was asked, if Toyota is if we're here today in these hearings questioning recalls, we also understand that the domestics in the last 12 months have had 141 of such recalls. Secretary LaHood, what are we doing with those? And so, you know, I don't think that Toyota has managed to manipulate the system with lobbyists. I think that these hearings are in order. I think the truth is going to come out. That's what the American public needs.
Do you believe that this is somehow a concerted effort to undermine the credibility of the Toyota product?
No, I don't. I do not believe that, but my point was I don't believe that Toyota has managed to manipulate the system through lobbyists either.
And Carl Nash, what do you think?
Well, on this question of Toyota's behavior, we wrote a book in 2003 called Sudden Acceleration, and among the things that we cited in there was the fact that when Toyota went to an electronic drive-by-wire system for the accelerator in the early part of the last decade, their complaints on sudden acceleration went up fourfold, and the complaints on the Camry were quite a bit higher than the complaints on the Corolla, which had a normal mechanical linkage, even though the complaints were, you know, not really outstanding, but it indicated that there was some problem that was being introduced by these electronic systems. Now, I don't know whether Toyota read our book, but, you know, that should have been an indicator, or that the information from NHTSA should have been an indicator that they had a problem even almost 10 years ago.
But Toyota continues to maintain that the electronics are not to blame.
Well, they can maintain that all they like. The evidence, I think, is contrary to that.
Dave Leventhal?
One thing that, just stepping back for a second, about Toyota's money and the money that is going into the political process, I think it's important to note that the government, and this is tinged with irony, is actually a partial owner of two very large auto companies, and Chrysler and General Motors. So while the focus is on Toyota, while Toyota is in the crosshairs in this situation too, we've been pointing out, and I think very fairly, that there is another element to this. Now, whether that plays into these discussions, whether this is a motivating factor at all, there's been a lot of speculation on that. It's very unclear as to whether that is the case or not. But I think people should, in the public, keep in mind that the United States government is effectively an owner of competing auto companies.
So where does that take you?
It takes you to a position where, unfortunately, for better or for worse, you may not know until weeks or even months from now what the ultimate effect of Toyota's lobbying effort is on this process. Oftentimes, you have to look in retrospect to see what had happened that leads to a result. So we'll be monitoring that issue very, very closely.
So, Paul Atkinson, how has this whole imbroglio affected sales of Toyota? How has it affected your business?
Interesting. The whole, in fact, I read an article this morning, the whole new car sales in the country has really slowed down. And Toyota, our business was off in January 16%. Interesting, we didn't lose business to any other manufacturer. We kept the same market share. So the whole industry came down. So it is affecting it. However, I want you to understand that through last night's business, Toyota dealers across this country have fixed over 700,000 cars already in these recalls.
Fixed how?
With the sudden acceleration.
Fixed how?
There is a stainless steel shim that Toyota dealers are putting in the accelerator pedal. It's the fix that NHTSA looked at and blessed. NHTSA doesn't approve anything. They just say no objection.
So this is with the floor pedal.
This is with the floor pedal, okay. The accelerator pedal, the sticky pedal, and we are also doing the floor mats.
Okay. Stainless steel addition to the floor pedal and with the mats. And Carl, is Toyota doing enough?
It's hard to tell whether Toyota's doing enough. They certainly are attempting to deal with the actual cars that are in the field and that have these defects. Whether Toyota's doing enough internally and to change the business practices and the philosophy within the company, it is very hard to tell. And as I say, I think the evidence is not very strong that Toyota really is doing enough. The company, as I understand it, has huge financial resources, unlike General Motors and Chrysler. And I think it should be making a very, very major investment in attempting to deal with not only the problems into the future, but also with the people who've been affected by this in the past. And
Carl Nash, the Center for Auto Safety, and you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. And we'll open the phones now, 800-433-8850. First to Randallstown, Maryland. Good morning, Jerry. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to say our family owned a 04 Camry that had an acceleration problem like that. We bought it used. And after having for like 30 days, my wife put it in park, turned it off, turned it back on, put it in reverse, and it just took off at high speed. She was able, because she had her foot on the brake, to slam it back into reverse because it was heading for some pedestrians. Ended up getting it back into reverse and then into park and turned it off. And this car was just all over the place. I, myself, am an electrical engineer, disabled, and I have a master's in computer science, and I spent years designing safety systems on robotic workstations, which were robots people worked by, because of the kind of work they were doing. And I highly appreciate the idea they want to make it so that the hidden brakes disconnects the accelerator. But that's done only in software. That can not be 100% effective, because if the software is off the weeds, you still have the problem where you it's not going to operate effectively.
All right, Paul Atkinson.
Jerry, I am so sorry that you've had that problem, and that should be the first words out of anybody's mouth. In fact, Mr. Lentz apologized, Mr. Toyota has apologized, and will probably do the same thing again today. I'm assuming you took it to the dealership. Technical people, hopefully, have gone in and looked at that. The most difficult thing for us to find in these types of situations is to reproduce the same situation so we can fix it. Any electrical engineer will tell you that's the most difficult problem that they have in trying to fix these situations, is to reduplicate it exactly.
All right. Dave Leventhal, tell us about the Toyota memos that have surfaced in the last few days.
These memos that go back, I believe, to 2007 have been a flashpoint in this debate. Effectively, what has been said in some of these memos, these were memos that were private. They are now public. And basically what they were saying was that Toyota was happy that they got a limited amount of money that was able to be spent on safety issues. And what that did, it basically, from a political standpoint, is cause a number of members of Congress to get extremely upset on their own of their own volition on behalf of their constituents.
Here's what you wrote. You said that Toyota bragged in a memo about saving money by getting around regulations, and that internal memo in 2007, the gist of which was they were aware of safety concerns. It was a win for Toyota because it was only required to look at floor mats, saved Toyota millions dollars.
And Toyota has come out and said that that wasn't necessarily representative of the company as a whole. Now, other people have come out and read that memo and said, well, of course it's representative of Toyota as a whole. So now as we have these congressional hearings, this particular memo is of extreme interest to the folks who are investigating exactly what went on. I suspect the discussion about this memo is not going to go away anytime soon. It's a very, very contentious point here, and especially since this has just come out so recently, the debate is really just beginning on this.
But I gather you are concerned that Toyota may have influence over the hearings because of its relationship with members of Congress.
What this does, fair or not, is bring up the specter that Toyota is trying to withhold something. Toyota is trying to act in its corporate interest and not in the interest of safety. Whether that's true or not, that's an issue that's going to be of extreme contention.
Dave Leventhal, he's with the Center for Responsive Politics. Short break. We'll be right back.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the Kiplinger Foundation, supporting public understanding of business and the economy, by the Wallace Foundation, a source of ideas for expanding learning opportunities beyond the school day at wallacefoundation.org, by Jeffrey Kenner, in appreciation of NPR's international coverage and its foreign correspondents, and by PBS, presenting The National Parks, America's Best Idea, from filmmaker Ken Burns, airing tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS. This is NPR.
NATO's civilian chief says the alliance remains committed to the Afghan mission despite a possible Dutch troop withdrawal. Three NATO ambassadors on the latest from Afghanistan, efforts to expand the alliance and its role in the 21st century. The Diane Rehm Show, next hour. And welcome back. As we talk about Toyota, what's happening, the hearings that are occurring on Capitol Hill today. Here's an email from Robert who says, I'm just curious, have acceleration issues occurred in Toyota vehicles made only in the U.S., or has it occurred in other countries? I'm wondering if the problem is systemic throughout the world, or is it only a U.S. problem and therefore a U.S. manufacturing issue? Carl Nash.
It seems to be a worldwide issue. Just today, or yesterday, I think, the Japanese government announced that they were going to be looking into sudden acceleration problems in the home country.
And have you seen that as well?
Media reports seem to indicate that that is the case.
All right. Let's go to Brownfield, Maine, and to Jake. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Diane. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir.
I think this whole thing is a witch hunt, and shame on you for taking part, Diane. However, I never thought I'd admonish
you.
You
think it's a witch hunt, Jake, when four people die and a woman testifies about her own experience. I don't think any kind of witch hunt is being carried out here or in the Congress. I'm sorry you feel that way.
At my workplace, we have Chevys and Fords, which I can produce two recall notices, one talking about engine fires and the other talking about cabin fires and airbag fires.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not hearing about those in the news, but I will say, I bought a Toyota for $8,000. They gave me $15,000 because the frame was rusted on it prematurely, and I knew the frame was going to rust on it prematurely because it's a Toyota. That said, I took that money, bought my wife a Toyota, and bought a Ford for myself.
I'm glad you had such a positive experience. Jake raises a fair point. What about all those other problems occurring with other brands, Dave?
Every car brand has had an issue of some sort at some point in time. We alluded earlier to the Ford problem with rollovers in the past. Every automaker has dealt with this. And it has been curious to see the reaction of automakers to what's going on. It's been relatively muted. You haven't had General Motors or Chrysler or another auto company go up on air saying, don't buy Toyotas, buy our cars because they are so safe and above and beyond where Toyota is. Because I think they know as well as everyone that they might be in the crosshairs and in the limelight that you do not want to be in sometime down the road if they ever had a problem. That's not to say that there will be, but it has been interesting to see how they've reacted to these hearings that have been going on in Congress.
All right, let's go to Westminster, West Vermont. Good morning, Leslie.
Thanks for taking my call, Diane. This is actually a little bit in reference to your last caller, who I think was perhaps a bit misinformed. My question is why, in all of these mentions of recalls, nothing has been said about the buyback that Toyota was that they did for their Toyota Tacoma trucks and Tundra trucks, which were bought back by Toyota because they were made out of a metal which was found to be extremely corrosive, and that the metal in the frame, this is the frame of the body of the trucks, would crack and break. And we had one of those trucks. We had to get rid of it because it wouldn't pass inspection. Our mechanic said it was totally unsafe to drive. We took it back to the Toyota dealer. They verified that in writing. They said it was a junk car. It was only about 5 years old. We trusted Toyota at that point, which I'm really, I've totally lost my trust in them. We bought a brand new truck from them. And then 6 months later, we got a letter from Toyota saying that they're buying back these trucks, one of which was our serial number, because they found that they had been made out of this corrosive metal that degenerated much more quickly than it should have.
All right. Paul Atkinson, do you want to comment?
Leslie, sorry you had that problem. I'm glad Toyota was willing to buy it back from you. There was a problem in the north, especially in the north, with corrosiveness with the salt materials in a row. And obviously that takes years to develop that problem. Tacoma has been an interesting, you know, last Friday there was a Toyota announced a recall for a part on the Tacomas that was involved 8,000 vehicles. The majority of those had not even been shipped to dealers yet, so it was taken care of there in the factories and so forth. Interesting, though, the same day that announcement came out from Toyota, that vendor also supplied everyone the same list. Ford had 17,000 units with the same product in it. Nissan had 14,000 units with the same product in it. And to Dave's point, we haven't heard anything about the recalls with those two manufacturers yet.
Carl Ash.
Well, I was just going to say that, excuse me, that case is interesting because it was a Fiat rust case in 1974 that actually resulted in federal legislation that now requires recall or repurchase of vehicles when they're found to be defective. Before that, it was a voluntary matter. They had to inform owners, but they did not have to recall.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to report it to NHTSA first.
Within five days. Which Toyota did not do in this case.
In which case? I'm sorry.
In the sudden acceleration case.
That's not what came out in the hearing yesterday afternoon. It was, I know that's being questioned, but that was, I'm sorry you missed the last part of it yesterday afternoon with Mr. Lentz, but that did come out in the hearing yesterday afternoon.
What about the loss of trust that Leslie mentioned, Dave?
There could be a spillover effect here on automakers in general. These hearings are, of course, focused on Toyota, but there's just going to be heightened awareness about the auto industry in general that's going to come as a result of this going on. There is probably a loss of trust across the board in many automakers when you have auto companies that are going bankrupt, that are being bailed out by the government, that have safety issues, that are causing congressional hearings to happen. When you go to buy a car, a lot of auto buyers are going to wonder, you know, am I really getting a good deal? Am I really getting a safe car? And maybe just use public transportation a little bit more.
Yeah. By the way, Diane, you cited 4 deaths. There actually have been 34 reported to NHTSA as a consequence of this defect.
All over
the United States, yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. In precisely the same ways?
I don't know that they've been fully verified, but they have been reported, and NHTSA said that they had received reports of 34 deaths as a result of sudden acceleration in Toyota vehicles.
All right, to Lansing, Michigan. Good morning, Ali. You're on the air. Ali, you're...
Hello. Yes, this is Ali from Lansing, Michigan. Diane, I really enjoy your show. I know I don't have much time, so I'll go right to this thing. I own a used car lot, and I deal with for imports all the time. I probably sold over 2,000 Toyotas in my lifetime, and I have respect for the Toyota generally, but this, I had 2 occasions. One, I was driving an older Toyota, a 97 Avalon, and I was driving myself. I hit the brake instead of the car stopping, and the brake was under my feet, was hard, like I'm grabbing it. But the car speed up for almost a week after that accident. I was puzzled why. Maybe I'm pushing on the acceleration by mistake, because the car actually speed up. And I totaled that vehicle. I didn't think of nothing of it. Then just I have another unit which I bought 3 years ago, an O2 Celora, which we had problem with the paddle. And one of my employees about a year and a half ago was trying to move it into the detail bay, and the car speed up by itself, almost pinched one of my employees against the wall. And I didn't think of it again. I thought maybe something wrong with the paddle and stuff. I brought it inside. We fixed. We repaired the whole thing. And then when this thing came up, I called a local Toyota dealer in Lansing, Michigan, and I told them that I have an O2 Celora, that this happened, and without even saying bring it in, let us look at it or anything, says no, this car does not include one of the cars. So I really don't know if this is what, or maybe it's just failure on the separate than this issue.
Yeah, that's the hard part, isn't it, Carl?
Yes, I mean, almost any malfunction of a vehicle is a fairly unusual event, and yet we drive cars typically one to several times per day, so that there are millions to billions of occurrences, and if the defect only shows up, you know, one time in 10 million, it's still going to show up a fairly large number of times.
Dave.
The confluence of political pressure and public pressure on any industry is oftentimes a very, very major motivator. And with there being heightened awareness, again, of the auto industry here, the things that are wrong, be it in Toyota or another car company, that may be mitigated to some degree as a result of so much attention being sent to this issue.
You know, there's another player in this whole thing, and that is State Farm, which reported this unusual number of accidents resulting from sudden acceleration in Toyotas. Now, State Farm was doing being a good citizen by reporting this to the government, but they really didn't make a very big deal of it. And one of the reasons is that auto insurance in this country does not cover most of the cost of serious injury and death when people get in major accidents. The limits are typically $10,000 to $100,000, whereas a fatality has economic implications of millions of dollars. And so the insurance industry, which should be playing a major role in a case like this, has been relatively silent.
Here's an email from Steve in Miami, Florida. My partner and I have run companies in the electronics industry for more than 20 years. When the acceleration issue first made the news, we predicted it was a computer, controller, and software problem. I find it incredible that Toyota has denied this for so long. It's especially concerning to me as I drive a new Toyota. What would you say to Steve in Miami, Paul?
First of all, I'd tell him thank you for driving a Toyota, okay? There's a reason for that. In fact, the number one driven car on Capitol Hill are Toyota products. So I think there's something to be said there. Mr. Lentz said yesterday, over and over and over to Congress, we are open to anybody who can help us in trying to solve this issue. The Dr. Gilbert from Southern Illinois University that testified yesterday, they've offered to visit with him, see what can be done. You know, Toyota is as interested in finding if there is a problem to this as we dealers are. You just have to duplicate it first in order to be able to fix it. And that's the biggest problem.
Dave.
Paul makes a good point that Toyotas are very, very heavily driven on Capitol Hill. I was down there today, and I saw about five lawmakers pull up in a Lexus or a Toyota. Now, that can cut both ways. There are some members of Congress who are invested in Toyota, who have stock holdings. One, Jane Harman, had to recuse herself yesterday as a result of having six-figure sums of stock in Toyota. But if you have lawmakers who are actually driving a Toyota product and are themselves concerned about the safety of the vehicle that they have bought for themselves— nothing hits home like having a product of your own that you have in a company that's being focused on by you.
And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Carl Nash, we've heard callers say they've had this experience. Mm-hmm. We've heard other callers say, you know, you're making too big a deal out of this. What's your thought?
Well, years ago, NHTSA had what was called the per se theory of defect, which was that if you had a lot of accidents or a lot of reports of problems, you probably have a defect. But a Reagan-appointed judge said, that's not good enough. You have to actually specify in great detail what the technical problem is that causes this.
So you have to reproduce it.
Yes. And the fact is that that very much weakened the government's defect program and made it so that the government, with very limited resources and ability to actually make those kinds of findings, was unable to deal with a lot of these cases. And I also would like to say that one of the co-authors of our book, Michael Pecht, runs an organization at the University of Maryland with more than 100 professionals which deal specifically with these kinds of electronic problems, and he provides good evidence in this book of how these kinds of electronic problems occur, why they are so rare, and why they are so difficult to reproduce.
And does he talk specifically about Toyota?
Not specifically. This was 2003 when we wrote the book, but I think Toyota, if they're not already talking to Mr. Pecht, they should be.
Considering the emails that have been uncovered and the memos, Dave Leventhal, where is this whole thing going?
It's going to go forward. This is going to be in the news for weeks to come, particularly when Congress is having open public hearings on this. But again, the behind-the-scenes aspect of it that are going to be difficult to ferret out of this process— months down the road, it's going to be just incredibly interesting to see what the fruits of that kind of labor is going to yield, what the lobbyists for Toyota are actually going to be able to accomplish when they're having offline meetings that aren't in the public spotlight.
Do you believe, Paul Atkinson, that the number of recalls is going to go up?
I think it's going to go up for everyone. I think the standard...
No, I mean for Toyota.
No. In fact, I think Toyota is voluntarily doing recalls right now that typically in the past wouldn't have been a recall, just as the example I gave you a while ago of the part with two other manufacturers. So I don't think the number of recalls is going to be any different than it's been the last few weeks. Toyota's going to continue to do it the right way. State Farm did report that Toyota had more incidences of this unintended acceleration. By the way, a lot of manufacturers have it. But State Farm would also tell you that Toyota Camry is the most stolen vehicle in America today. It's also the number one volume vehicle, so that's going to be there automatically.
Dave.
It's important to remember that this is an election year. You have a very critical midterm election coming up. And whether it's fair or not, lawmakers, if their constituents are upset about this, if their constituents continue to care about this issue, are likely going to keep this issue in play. If it plays well at home, it's going to keep playing.
I would say that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration has the potential of being one of the great bargains in the American government, and it needs substantially increased funding to be able to do its job. And Toyota should be lobbying for that in order to save itself money.
Mm-hmm. Carl Nash of the Center for Auto Safety, Dave Leventhal, Communications Director for OpenSecrets.org, and at the Center for Responsive Politics, and Paul Atkinson, Toyota dealer from Texas, chair of the Toyota National Dealer Council. We shall watch this with great interest. Thank you for being here. Thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, Denise Couture, and Monique Nazareth. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dory Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information.